Yeah, okay, what about that? We usually are familiar a little bit with Rabbeinu Bechaya, who wrote his Pirush on Torah. And Bechaya basically lived in the late 1200s and into the mid or 1300s. He basically passed away in 1340 in Spain. And in addition to the Pirush on the Torah, as you know, Rishonim are not limited just to writing a Pirush on the Torah. They also write Pirushim on different areas as well. So there's a commentary, a Pirush of Rabbeinu Bechaya, which is on Mishle. And there actually in the Haggadah, in the introduction to the Sefer, so he talks about, and he talks about, and he writes like this. Actually, he says, my Sefer will include, he says, basically what describing with the Sefer that he's writing about. And actually, if one looks in the Hagdama, in the Rabbeinu Bechaya La Torah, you can find similarly the Lashon is basically said that my Sefer, he says, will include Torah wisdom. And he says, an inspiration, I hope, he writes. I hope that my Pirush, when you learn my Pirush, it will contain. He says, inspiration to acquire virtuous character traits, in other words, refinement of midos, to be able to elevate yourself in proper behavior. And he said that I'll begin each parasha with a posik, he says, from a charming sefer. In other words, if you open up Rabbeinu Bechaya, before he gets into the parasha, there's always Hagdama. Every sefer has Hagdama, it's introduction. And Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that I'll begin each parasha with a posik. The introduction will be from a posik, he says, in Mishle. So if you go through, whether it's Bereishis or Noach or Lech, or any parasha that you go through, and if you want to study a little bit the Pirushim or Rabbeinu Bechaya, so there's Hagdama introduction. Introduction is based upon some posik somewhere in Mishle of Shlomo HaMelech. And he writes, because in the Mishle of Shlomo HaMelech, he says, it basically comments on all midrash so we can realize the value. All types of proper behavior and character traits you would learn from Mishle of Shlomo HaMelech. He praises the worthy ones, this is how Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, and he denounces the unworthy ones. In the beginning, he says, of these introductions, I'll quote from the holy commentary, so writes Rabbeinu Bechaya. He says, the beginning of these introductions, I'll quote from the holy commentary with very, he says, venerable explanations written by Rabbeinu Yonah. So it's very interesting. Rabbeinu Bechaya was a rishon in his own right. The Hagdama that he writes to each parasha, he's going to use a pasuk in Mishle, and being that there's a Pirush of Rabbeinu Yonah on Mishle, so says that I will always bring a Pirush, he says, from the holy commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah, which, he says, why? Because the commentary, the Pirush of Rabbeinu Yonah, is a commentary that assists one to understand Mishle properly and enlightens one's eyes. So if you really want to understand Mishle, which Shlomo HaMelech wrote, so learn it with the Pirush of Rabbeinu Yonah. And then he says further, I'll keep in mind, he writes, Rabbeinu Bechaya himself says, I'll keep in mind what he writes, what Rabbeinu Yonah writes, because his words revive my neshama. Imagine, Rabbeinu Bechaya needed the revival of his neshama. Because his words of Rabbeinu Yonah revive my neshama, and his work is more valuable than gold and pearls. And then he says, who will give us the soil in which Rabbeinu was buried so I can put it in my eyes, to take some of the offer of the caver. I think commentary is not necessary to appreciate, he says, the words of Rabbeinu Bechaya. Now, the Rosh himself, a couple of years ago, we have studied the Pirush of the Sefer Orchis Chaim of the Rosh. And the Rosh, among the various, he says, modes of behavior that the Rosh suggests that a person should conduct himself. And he gives instructions, the person should do this, and the person should do this, he should refrain from that, and so on and so forth. So he says, one of the proper things for a Yid to do, to be a good Jew, he says, quote the Lashon of the Orchis Chaim, Sheyikra Igeres HaTshuva Shechibur Ben Yoyne Zal B'Shvur Sheyochel Rosh Hashanah Liz B'Soycha. In other words, before Rosh Hashanah, what you want to do, Tshuva. And what we need sometimes inspiration, even though it's Rosh Hashanah, but still we still need inspiration. So the Rosh suggests that probably the best Sefer that one should be learning to gain inspiration before Rosh Hashanah to do Tshuva is read the Sefer, learn the Sefer Igeres HaTshuva Shechibur Rabbeinu Yoyne Zerchon Lavrocha. It's interesting thing is, if you take a look in the Sefer Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, you mentioned two things. Number one, of course, we can understand when you hear the phrase which is called Seinei Hashem. Seinei Hashem means literally means those that hate Hashem. Right? Todas El Hashem. So you can say to yourself, well, if you were asked to define, what is the Sein Hashem? Well, what it says Hashem means varies quite simply. He hates Hashem. In other words, he hates what's written in the Torah. He's not interested in what the Torah wrote. Not interested in what Hashem says. He hates Hashem. Or he's not happy with the way Hashem runs the world. In other words, if he had a choice, he'd run the world differently. So that's what he believes. He's a Sein Hashem. According to Rabbi Yoni, Shah Tshuva, Shah Gimel, to qualify, you know, this envious title, Sein Hashem, you can be a full Shomer Torah mitzvah, see this? You could be a full Shomer Torah and you still can be a hater of Hashem. Why and how? So I'll read you a few lines of Rabbi Yoni. The answer says as follows in the Shah Tshuva. It says, Inyan Sein Hashem, Nimsa Lepomim. The idea of being a Sein Hashem can sometimes be found Gamba Noshim, even by people Shemoisa mitzvahs. Because normally they go together. Someone who hates Hashem, soon they're going to do mitzvahs. But mitzvahs who? No. Sometimes you can find the Sein Hashem even by those who do mitzvahs. V'nizorim mikolavei. More that. And be a tzaddik, you think, right? He's doing mitzvahs and he's careful for many avere. He doesn't sin. Right? So he's the biggest tzaddik in the world. No, he hates Hashem. Why? What does he do? What does he do with all the good things, supposedly, that he does? What is inherent in his behavior that he's called the Sein Hashem? So he says the following. Im nafshom ro, if a person basically has a bad feeling, will be kerev libam yikshalahem ba'asher chavrem oiskim b'toyer. In other words, you have a person, let's say, he's a Talmud Chacham, but he sees that other people learn better than him, they learn more, he'd rather they don't learn more, because why? He's taking away from his kovet. So that as a result, right? As a result, being that he feels that they are sort of like infringing on his status, because if not for the other people, he would be looked upon that he is the most important person. So therefore, even though he's doing everything that's right, as far as he can do, but being that the other people who learn Torah more, who mekayim mitzvahs more, behave in a higher level, so therefore he hopes, right, in his own mind, it's difficult for him to take it, that chavireyem ha'oiskim b'Torah, v'yeira b'ineyem b'yoyz b'nei yodom, oivdim es Hashem, v'yireyem b'fonot. It bothers them that you have too many people that are great Yir Shemayim, because being that they are on the Madrega of such being Yir Shemayim, it takes away what he is. People look at him as a lower status. So he says, says Rabbi Yoina, imagine if you have a king and you see people serving a king and you say to yourself, I wish that those people would not serve the king. Well, that would mean obviously you don't love the king. If you'd have a love for the king, no way would you hope that people are not serving the king. Same way, if you have for any reason that people should not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means also you are in the getter. He says, Soine, he says, it means you are Soine Hashem, and that's even if you're not doing anything to stop them. Certainly, he says, all the more so if you do things to block, to throw stumbling blocks in the path, to stop them from growing, right, and learning more Torah, and to doing more mitzvahs. So they're not even detracting from them. So if you do that, it's mamish soina Hashem, he says, the chein hanoshim, and also these people, asher einam tzor bekobet talmid chachamim. For example, he sees that talmid chachamim, that they get a lot of respect. So he's very upset at it. How come I'm not getting respect? These talmid chachamim. Even though they're not taken away from him, if you'd be a Talmid Chacham, they stand up for you too. But the fact is that Talmid Chacham are getting covered. It bothers him. The Talmid Chachamim, Hayishoyim Vatzadikim, they sign him and they hate Ateres Tefartom. You hate the glory that's being extended to a Talmid Chacham, to an El Chayid. You're called the Sein Hashem, even though you're putting on tefillin every day. But the fact is, the Fagensnish, right? You can't take it. The Talmid Chacham are getting covered. That's called the Sein Hashem. So points out Rabbeinu Yoni in Shaar Tshuva. Now, on one of the trips, go back, I think, 15, 16 years ago, it was on one of the Germany-Poland trips, I think, that we did together. So we mentioned the Pasuk of Ben Yoyin and Mishkel. It's a very well-known Pasuk. There's actually there's three Perushim to that Pasuk. You probably maybe remember the Pasuk one way or another. We'll mention the three Perushim. One of them is Ben Yoyin's Pshat. Okay? Pasuk is Me'ishle Chav Zayin. Pasuk says, Matzrev lekesef, v'kur lezohov, v'ish lefi mahaloi. Let's translate it simply the way Rashi says it. He says, if you want to purify silver, well, if silver was put into what was called a refining pot, how you burn it out in order to remove the impurities, so now the silver has been, you know, the silver now is on an important standard. It's now on a high level because it has been put through, went through the process. Kulazov, Zov, if you want to purify gold, you put it through a furnace. So, you have a refining pot that purifies the silver, you have a furnace that purifies the gold. What purifies, if you see a person, right, and you want to know his value, Ish lefi mahalloi, says Rashi, the value of a person is how people praise him. In other words, what it means to say is, if people praise you, right, that means obviously you're doing the right thing. And if people don't praise you all that much, yeah, that means you're not that great. That a person gains respect by his behavior. So, well, gold has to go through a process, a furnace, silver has to go through a process. A person basically can be viewed as pure by lefi mahal, according to the praise. Ish lefi mahalloi, according to how others praise him. Others praise him. Ben Yonis is the other way around. What do you mean the other way around? You want to know the value of a person, says Rabbi Yoina. You want to look what he praises. Look what he praises, says Rabbi Yoina. Im hu mishabeach ma'isim toivim, chachomim tzadikim. If you see that a person is impressed by Talmid Chachomim and he talks about Talmid Chachomim, he talks about tzadikim, that shows he's a shtickl tzadik himself. On the other hand, if he shows the other way, he's meshabech rishoyim, he's meshabech evil people, or people that are not making any real contribution, right, in a meaningful way. So what a person praises, a person praises gold and silver. So obviously you know that he's a very materialistic person. You want to know the inherent value of a person, look at what he praises. That which he praises tells you what he is. So many, many years, so he says, Ish lefi mahalaloi. The quality of the man is lefi mahalaloi, what the man praises, not how others praise him. And just mention as an aside that the Baruch Redim, Rav Lozer Zakri, in the time of the Bis Yosef, going in the 1500s, he says, Ish lefi mahalaloi. You want to see the quality of the man, lefi mahalaloi, the way he praises Hashem, the way he davens. Ish lefi mahalaloi. Look the way Hashem davens. If you see the way a person davens, that also tells you something about a person. Ish lefi mahalaloi. It's a famous quote, you know, that the Gemara says that this b'shloisha dvorim adam nikur, you can tell the quality of a person three ways: b'kisoi, b'koisoi, u'b'kasoi. Right? One way is b'kisoi, with his wallet, right? You know, so simple meaning is, you know, if a person is generous, or the other way is tight-fisted, that's called b'kisoi. B'koisoi is how he drinks, right? Can he hold? Does he drink a lot? Or does he control the liquor? The liquor control him. B'koisoi. And b'kasoi, how quick is he to get anger? Right? Can he control himself? So if a person is very quick to get angry, that tells you about a person. Three things. It was sort of like a rhyme. Kisoi, koisoi, kasoi. Right? His wallet, koisoi, his kais, his cup, and kasoi. So many years ago, Rav Chaim Kreiser, he was in the, had to be in the country, in South Fallsburg, there was a Psalm of Malka by us, or breakfast of some sort. So he said, there's another, he said, another meaning, the three ways, b'shloisha dvarim, he said, chief rabbi of Antwerp, b'shloisha dvarim, b'kisa, b'koisoi. Well, again, simple meaning is b'kisa with his wallet, whether he gives or not. He said, I have a different shot, he says. His wallet does not mean whether he gives or not, for what he gives. The people he gives for yeshivas, people he gives, right, for poor people. Other people give to build fancy houses, to buy another boat, another yacht. The kisoi, through the wallet, you can tell what a person is. Not whether he gives or not, that's also true. But he has another meaning. The kisoi is, for what does he give, for what does he use his money? Then the thing is, bekoisoi. Bekoisoi, you drink, you know, when you have a simcha. What's called a simcha? Does he drink by Yiddish a simcha? Or does he drink, you know, it's a night on the town. So that's the shayla, b'koisoi, where he drinks. That's b'koisoi, where he drinks. Does he drink l'chaim? That's very good. But how much does he drink with l'chaim? What's the shear he drinks with l'chaim? So big. And then finally says, b'kasoi, what upsets him? There's some people who get upset, you know, when they see that what? They see Chil Shabbos, they hear Lashon Hara, right? They see that other people get upset at other things. Other people get upset, come to their own covet, because to their own honor. So, petty things, what really is important for him to get upset. So that's basically what Ben Yonah says. Ish lefi mahalloi. You want to recognize the value of a person, lefi mahalloi, what does that person praise? That which is choshev tim, that which he praises, that tells a little bit about the person. So finally we can conclude here now. There's a sefer called Avnei Zikarim, which has recorded the matseva of Ben Yonah. Very rare, again, come out impossible, to have written text of matsevas going back to the time of Rishonim. Unfortunately we don't have anything on Rashi. Rashi, right? The greatest teacher of all time. We have nothing. We don't even know exactly where it's buried. All that you know, it's in France, and there is the old Beis HaChaim, you know, in Troyes, where Rashi lived. So it's imagined that that's probably somewhere that Rashi has to be buried over there. But there's no sign. There's nothing. Everything is wiped out clearly. So there's no indication. We don't have a real record. Matter of fact, some say the Rashi is buried in Germany. So they even know that. and Rabbeinu Tami, all the grace that we have, we don't have. A little bit we have, remember, Ram Rothenberg we have, who's the Rebbe of the Rosh we have. And here we have, there is a Nusach Matzeva. We don't have the Matzeva of Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, but the Nusach. This is the text of the Matzeva, recorded in a sefer called Avnei Zikarim. And it's written the following, three lines. It says, Nignaz Bekever. He said, here, put away here, deep in this kever, is Avi HaTeuda, the father of accomplishment. The father of accomplishment. Chemdas Yisrael V'Yehuda, the treasure of all the Jewish people. Harav, he is the Rav, he is the Rebbe, Asher Higid Talumas Chochma. He is the Rebbe that revealed hidden Chochma, hidden wisdom. V'Hoytzi Le'or Mishpatel, and he brought to light the laws of the Torah. The Heyol Evapanel, and illuminated, right, all around. Mayana Chochma Batvun, he is the wellsprings of wisdom and knowledge. Menoyos Hamor, he is like the candelabra that shines light. Hayoyse Misadel, that branch out from the sides. Kenei Chochma, branches of wisdom. Ukenei Bino, and branches of understanding. Harav HaGodol HaChosir Ben Yoyne Ben Kvoid HaChochem HaNichbod Rav Avrom Zechron Lebrochem Migirona. It says the Hinafsho Yitzurura B'Sorachayim, let his soul be bound, right, the bound of the living, eternal living. Matzeves Kviroso should be a Mazbeach Kapora. His Matzeva should be, anybody who comes here should be a Kapora for him, Ba'ad HaSheves HaNishora, for those that are left. So this is a little bit interesting that there is, we have this remnant, this shrine a little bit, to give us a little bit of an attachment of something about the great Rabbeinu Yonah. So we go, Rabbi Sanz, to go here to the Shari Avodah. So we have Daf Yud Gimel, page Yud Gimel in your edition. It's Oiz Vav. It's the paragraph beginning with Vav. Okay, Daf Yud Gimel. Again, this is follows what we had. Ben Yonah had a whole series of things on Kodesh Baruch Hu, selection within selection. Right, among the nations, so the Jewish people were chosen. And within Jewish people themselves, right, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made again selections. You have Levim that stand out. And then from the Levim, Kodesh Baruch Hu made selection, that you had the Kohanim that stand out. And also regarding the lands, the world. But you have Eretz Yisrael that stands out among all the other lands. And then within Eretz Yisrael itself, that's Yerushalayim. And within Yerushalayim itself, what stands out is the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So now he goes on with the place of the Beis HaMikdash, he says. V'amokei Mahu. He said, this is the place, V'amokei Mahu, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, this is the place that Baruch Hashem Yisbarach Kadosh Baruch Hu chose, Liyeh Beis Tfiloseinu. This should be the ultimate place that we pray to Him. Yispalu Boisham Lefonov. This is the ultimate place where a person is able to be mispalu to daven before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemer, because the Pesuk says in Yeshaya, V'aviyosem La'akotshi, we say by Slichas, said all the time, V'aviyosem, I will bring them La'akotshi to my holy mountain, V'simachtim Beveis Tfilosi. Now I will make them rejoice in my house of prayer. So the Beis HaMikdash is the house, besides all the other things about the Beis HaMikdash, it's a house. House of Tfilah. It's the house of Tfilah. And that's why we say that all, no matter where you are in the world, when you're davening, the way the davening goes, doesn't go straight up to Shemaim. It goes from here, goes to Eretz Yisrael, it goes to the Mokim HaMikdash, to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, right, where the Kaisel Maravi stands, and from there it goes up to Shemaim. Okay, that is the central point of connection, that is the real Mokim Tfilah. The Yomer. And then he quotes another Pasuk, the Pasuk in Malachim. Pesuk says regarding Shlomo Melech, "Vayamid Shlomo lifnei mizbeach Hashem," and Shlomo Melech stood before the altar of Hashem, before the mizbeach. Vayomer, and he says, "Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Hashem, you are the God of Klal Yisrael. Ein kamoicho, there's no one like you, Belechim. There's no one like you." So Shlomo Melech is being mispalus. So what is he davening? What is he saying? He's standing before the Mizbeach. Again, to point out that the Mizbeach, that is the place of the Mokim HaMikdash. Mizbeach, by the way, is the ultimate place within the Beis HaMikdash itself. Mizbeach is where you do the Avodah. That's what you do with the service, the Karbonos. So that's the place. Vayamid Shlomo. Shlomo stands there. And that's where Shlomo has his say. V'yomer, then we have another Posik, which is also in Malachim. And the Posik says, Ofoniso. In other words, he's being mispalus. He said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, please turn. Now I'm davening to you, so I'm speaking to Hashem, and I'm saying to Hashem, "Ufanisal tefilas avdecho." You should turn toward your, toward the tefillah, right, to the prayer of your servant, the tachnunov, and to his supplication, "Lies enecho pekuchos I am davening that you, Hashem, your eyes should be opened where? El Abayis Hazeh, to this house. Again, reference is being made. Listen to the tefillah, listen to my tefillah, that your eyes be opened, El Abayis Hazeh, towards this house. Again, which means, of course, the Beis Hamikdash. Again, the strong reference of showing again the connection of tefillah to the Beis Hamikdash. The Yoimer, it's interesting, the style of Yuvain Yoimer, this Sefer Sha'avodah is bringing a lot of psukim. Not very clear always why he needs all that many psukim. And they haven't really studied it. There could be a lot of stuff. You can study this, I guess, for years to try exactly to find each posik that he brings is adding something, you know, that we don't have in the previous posik. But there hasn't been much written. As mentioned to you, Rabbi Klal, that the Sefer Sha'avodah, the manuscript, which is first printed in 1960, all the others were printed 500-600 years ago. Like in Venice and so on and so forth, like the Sefer Sha'avodah. This manuscript was just discovered, right, it was in the 60s. That's when it's printed. So it's fairly, just now, it's contemporary. So we go further. And then in Be'olim it goes, the Pasuk says further, V'shamato el tchines abdecho. He said, you should listen, right, to the tefillah of your servant. And the Pasuk says further, you see, here sometimes also brings the beginning, it doesn't bring the end. Sometimes the punchline is the end. So he starts you off. So the end of this Pasuk, the Shemato, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you should listen al tchines abdecho. Listen to the prayer, right? Listen to the prayer, to the request of your servant. So it says later, Asher yisparulu el amokoy mazeh. Again, because that's included. With the davening el amokoy mazeh, to this place. That's what he's trying to show. The connection that Kodesh Baruch Hu chose, that the Mokem HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, that is the central point of where the tefillah, the davening, is connected to. V'yoymer, then it brings another pasuk. By the way, interesting thing, all these psukim are all in Malachim Aleph. It's like pasuk after pasuk, but interesting, and they're all trying to make the same point. So it goes further, V'yoymer. Then the pasuk says further. The pasuk says, V'hi nogev Yisrael lifnei oyev. When it comes out of tragedy, that Yisrael, that your people, Yisrael, that they are struck down by the enemy. Again, V'hi nogev Yisrael lifnei oyev. If a tragedy befalls Klal Yisrael, that they are struck down by the enemy. Why? Because they have sinned against you. So Vishavu Elecho, they will turn again back to you. Vahoidu, and they will praise you. Vahoidu Shemecho, they will praise your name. Right? And the aim of the passage is further, Vatatishma Shemayim, and you will listen in heaven. So what happens if heaven is sometimes closed? It's sometimes white, we daven, and heaven seems to be closed. So there's another posik. Behiyotra Shemayim, that in the event, he says, when heaven is closed, lo yemoter, for example, so close, there's not even any rain, there's a drought, very dangerous. Because ki yechetulah, because they have sinned to you, so visparulu la mokem hazeh. But go to the Mokem HaMikdash. In other words, again, go to the Mokem HaMikdash, and there, right, your tefillah has all the more chance to be accepted. Just mention that some Sefer writes that in one of the Mekayimis, he says, if a person davens, he says, and his tefillah was not answered, he should realize, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows, it's better for him that he does not have what he thought he needs. Many times we ask, we'd like this, all kinds of situations. Because in our minds, we believe that what we are davening for, that's the right thing. But you never know. Many things just turn out to be against you. So who knows the best? Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. Some Sefer says, many people say, I davened, it didn't work. Maybe it doesn't mean it didn't work. Kodesh Baruch Hu understood that what you're davening for is because you don't understand. You think that's good for you, Kodesh Baruch Hu knows it's not good for you. So that's why your tefillah was not answered. That's also one of the reasons. Tzedek Sam Sefer. Then there's another pasuk, Imalochim. The pasuk says as follows. Vata tishma shamayim. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you will listen in heaven. V'salachto, and you will forgive l'chatas avodecho. And you forgive the sin of your servant, v'amcha Yisrael. Right? And also of your people. Ki toirem, because you will teach them es aderech hatoivo. Because you'll teach them the proper way. You'll teach them the proper way, and if you take a look in the Mitzvot David, you will teach them the proper way, which means that many times we serve Hashem out of fear, because we're afraid that punishment is coming, or maybe punishment already came. So if we say, okay, I better turn, they say there's no atheist in the foxhole, right? Then you turn to Hashem. But that's really not That's not really the best way to really want to serve a Kodesh Baruch. You should be serving Kodesh Baruch because you understand that you should be serving a Kodesh Baruch. So it says in Mesudah David, right? It says in Mesudah David, Ki Toireim, you will teach them a Derech HaToyve. Toireim is from Lashon HaHiroa. You will teach them a Derech HaToyve, serve Hashem out of Ahava. Not because of fear or because of any, right? Because of anything that you are afraid that you need a Kodesh Baruch. Oh, I need the Yeshuv Hashem. Hashem has to help me. Going through a surgery, right? So now you start davening. Right? Very good. You should be davening. But I think you should be davening. Maybe if you davened earlier, you would need to surgery altogether. To think about that. So it's always easier to prevent from exerit, right, befalling one, than overturning it. The old story goes like with the Roman soldier, you know. When someone is arrested, they say in ancient times, the Roman soldier didn't have many excuses to arrest a Jew. So he says, so if he arrests you, you know, now you come to the judge, it's very, very hard, you know, to find a way to really to exonerate yourself. You're standing in front of the judge, you know, you have to have real good kindness, you have to probably have to have very good proof, and so on and so forth. But the easiest way, when the Roman soldier wants to arrest you, bribe him before taking it to the judge. If you bribe him before you get to the judge, then you're okay, he says. So the idea is not the prevention. Once you're in trouble already, to get out of it is much more difficult. The idea is do the right thing, what you have to do before you get into trouble. So anyway, so Kodesh Baruch will teach you the right way, how to serve him. Toireim is Aderech HaToyva. Toireim, and then there's another Pasuk in Malachim. The Malachim Pasuk says, Rav Ki Hoye Meyores. Pasuk says, it will be a famine in the land. And the Pasuk says, etc. It says further, it says, Kol Nega V'Kol Machlo, or any type of sickness, any type of tragedy. So the Pasuk says, V'Yoy Mesot says, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Kol Tfilo, Kol Tchino. It's any type of a davening. If you daven to me, Kol Tchino, and you're praying, you beg, you request, Ashetia L'Chol Odom, which any person, right? Any tefillah that will be made by any person, by Atta Tishma Shemaim, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, listen in heaven, Mechon Shivtecho, which is your dwelling place. And not only that, what Rabbi Yonish brings down in Posik, Tefillah is not limited to the Jewish people, even non-Jewish people also. The Bein Shalom is the Bein Shalom for the whole world, because Baruch Hu is the God of the entire world. And he quotes the Posik Vayner, and the Posik, by the way, that's also Malachim, that's a Hemshech there. The Posik says, V'gam el ha-Nochri, Asheloi ma'am choy sohu. Read this Posik. Even the Nochri, Nochri is the stranger, the alien one. The alien one means the non-Jew. Look at the Pasuk. The Gamel Anochri. That even the Nochri, even one who is alien, he's not from your people. Asheloi ma'amcha Yisrael hu. He's not from your people. And again, he says, etc. So I have to tell you under the Pasuk, because that's the punchline. So the Nochri, Asheloi ma'amcha Yisrael hu. Right? Uba, the Pasuk says. Uba meres l'chayka. And this Nochri, this stranger is going to come from a distant land. L'man Shemecha, because he comes because he believes in Hashem. The Pasuk says further. The Sparrow El Habayis Hazeh, and he'll come to daven over here. And by the way, we all know the pasuk we said in the davening again. Ki Beisi Beis Tefilo Yikore L'Chol Amim. That my house is a house of davening for all the nations. That's what it says. So it means it's not limited. And matter of fact, in ancient times when there was a Beis Hamikdash, right? So they used to come from all over. People were believers, those who were there. They used to come to the Mokami. They came there to be Sparrow. They came to daven there. And that's what the pasuk is saying. So we go further now, let's take a look, and it says further now. So it says, V'ata tishma ha-shamayim. Right? Okay, so the Pasuk says, and I should say even more, because we quoted the end of the Pasuk, V'omer, he said, before that, it says, V'gam ala nochre shloy mamcha yisrohu, that the goy will come, right, the non-Jew will come, his palo labayis hazeh, and the Pasuk says further, V'asisa, and your Kodesh Baruch Hu will do, so your Kodesh will do kechol asher yikra lecha nochri, whatever the goy calls upon, whatever the nochri, whatever the stranger, whatever the everyone will call upon, you will do it. Kodesh Baruch Hu will also listen to his prayers. You see that the power of tefillah is not limited dafka to eat. And the Meshem next week, 3 Mondays. We'll discuss the difference, though. There is a difference, though, between the power of tefillah that a Yid has and a non-Jew. But nevertheless, it doesn't take away that a non-Jew has the power of davening, and Hashem would listen to answer his prayers as well. But there's a difference. Vayimer. And then the Pasuk says further. Vayimer again, there's another Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, Ki Yetze Amcho L'Melchama. If your people will go out to war, it happens many times, Jewish people have to go out to war. We know that. So the Pasuk says there, Ki Yetze Amcho L'Melchama. When the people will go out to war, so it says further there, again, Vispalalu. He doesn't bring it, he says, etc. Ki Yetze Amcho L'Melchama. Vispalalu. El Hashem. Now they'll daven, how? Derech Ha'ir, the Tefillah will go through Yerushalayim, Asher Bachar Toboy, that you chose. Ba'abayis Asher Banoisa, and the house means that you will build, means the Beis HaMikdash. So again, this reference about the Tefillah being connected to the Beis HaMikdash, to show the tremendous power that the Beis HaMikdash has. And the Yomer, and the Pasuk says, V'solachto le'amcho Asher Chotuloch. You will forgive, right, your people who have sinned against you. In other words, what does it say later? It says later that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makabel this tefillah. In other words, Shlomo Melech is being mispalel. V'solach to'lamcha, please forgive your people that have sinned to you. So it says later, V'yom Hashem Elov. So the Pasuk says, in Melachim Tes, Gimel, Shemati esfilotcha, I heard your tefillah. And Memele, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I will sanctify the house that you built, Shlomo Melech, build the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. The Beis HaMikdash will be given all the powers that we have. So just mention just a few more lines over here, so we can move on to the sheet, because we have very important things to discuss here. Let's take just a few more lines here. Zion, okay, Perek Zion. Here in his bio, he says, so as previously we just explained, he says, Kenifcha Amokim Beis HaMikdash La'avodas HaTfilah. We pointed out that the Beis HaMikdash was chosen as a special place, right, for the service of davening. Kemoish Kenifcha, in the same way that the Beis HaMikdash was chosen La'avodas HaKorbanos. The same way that the Beis HaMikdash was chosen for the service of sacrifices, for korbanos, right? So the same way the Beis HaMikdash was chosen for avodas HaTfilah. Davening does not only mean davening. The singing part is also very important. Yeah, sometimes people during the singing, they look into a sefer. It's wrong. Because who are you singing to? You're singing to Hashem. You're singing seriously to Shbarach, to Shbarach. The singing part, because as a part of the avodah, what was the avodah of the Levim? The avodah of the Levim was while the korbanos, right? During the avodah of the korbanos, the Levim would sing. The Shira, the Zimra, is part of the Avodah. And this is what Rabbeinu Yoyin is telling us here. Ubechlal Avodah Satfila. What's included in the Avodah Satfila? Standing Shimon Esrei. Yes, that's not enough. Ubechlal Avodah Satfila Vakarbonus, Hois Avodah Sashir. Interesting. You say like this. Karbonus, Shira is a separate thing. No, no, that's Bechlal Avodah Satfila. Singing is not a separate Avodah. This is davening. Right, there's korbanos, and there is singing. Not and. Rabbi Yoni says, ubechlal avodas HaTfilah is included. That's part of the davening. It's part of the davening. That's how you daven to Hashem. You daven Hashem mitoch simcha, you daven Hashem by praising Hashem. Bechlal avodas HaTfilah v'korbanos hois avodas HaShir, which is, so you mahalalim, umishabchim, right? That the Levim would laud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umizamrim, they would sing b'shire David Melech Yisrael, quoting Tehillim, which are the various songs, right, of David HaMelech. The Beis HaMikdash ala korbanos, and the Chayin Noema, and so on. So he brings various psukim regarding, he says, the inyan of so many psukim that refer not only singing with the mouth, but they also had musical instruments, of course, according to those times. You had the harp, you had the lute, and you had the various, you had the cymbals, right? You had the drums, as you know, by Shiru, by Miriam, Tikach Miran Vishtuk Hatoif, and so on and so forth. So just to get a little bit of an idea, the Pasuk says over here, V'chein Oimer, we find in Divrei Yomim, Chronicles, the Pasuk says, V'dovid Zokein, Sva Yomim. The Pasuk talks about when David HaMelech, right, he became old and fulfilled of his days. Sva Yomim means he became fulfilled of his days. So finally he had to give over, right? He had to give over again the torch, pass the torch to whom? To Shlomo HaMelech. So the Pasuk says, so he gave this, the Meluche. He gave over the Meluche. He made him to be king over Yisrael. The Yoimer, now there was Levim. Now you had to have, you know, delegate authority. So the Pasuk says, Vayisofru ha-Levim, they counted, they took a head count. How many Levim were there? The time of Shlomo HaMelech, how many Levim were there? So they counted from the age of 30, right? So Levim is from the age of 30 when they do the service, do the Avodah. So the Pasuk says, Vayisofru ha-Levim, miben Shloshim, they counted the Levim, but from the age of 30 up, right? From the age of 30 up, and it turns out he doesn't bring in the whole Pasuk, as he says, etc., etc. He hopes either you know it, he can look it up. So the head count at that time was 38,000. Now, in the 38,000 Levim, right, so they broke it up also, different things that the Levim did. They counted from the age in 30 up, they counted, and it says there was 38,000. So, right. So, V'Omer, so the Pasuk says, so it says, V'Omer, of these 38,000, Me'ele, part of these 38,000, so you look in Tanakh, it means 24,000 of the 38. Right, it's, Yoram was there. Of the 38,000, 24 were used lenatzeach amaleches beis Hashem. In other words, they should oversee and be involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's one of the pirushim, one of the Vayimer, and then another 4,000. There's another posik. 4,000 were gatekeepers. You know, one of the avodas of the Levim were shorim, to stand by the gates. They were the gatekeepers. Arba salofim, 4,000 were shorim, right? They were gatekeepers. And arba salofim, and 4,000 mahalalim lashem, singing takarib baruch. And vayimer, then there's another posik. So I'll tell you this posik. It's a very, very interesting posik. Tell a little bit of history behind this posik. If you look at this posik, you're not going to realize what the intention of this posik is. The posik says, it's in Divrei Yomim, Kol Eile Bonim Lehemon Choyze HaMelech. All of these were the sons of a person called Haman, who was the seer. No, he was a Novi of the king. But let me tell you something. Haman was the son of Yoel. Yoel was the son of Shmuel HaNovi. So Haman really was an Einikel, was a grandson of Shmuel HaNovi. Chana, the mother of Shmuel, she prophesied, right, of a descendant who was going to be called Haman. She prophesied, because at that time Haman wasn't born. So Chana, the mother of Shmuel. Shmuel again is the father of Yoel, and Yoel is the father of Haman. So she prophesied, right, that Haman together with 14 sons, she prophesied that Haman is going to have 14 sons, and in fact, so it says in Tanakh, he did have 14 sons. She prophesied that they will have the privilege to sing zmiras, to sing hymns with musical instruments among other Levim, the Beis HaMikdash. So Chana, the mother of Shmuel, prophesied that her descendant, right, with a great-grandson, right, which is going to be Haman, him and his 14 sons will be among those who are going to do the singing and the playing the instruments towards the Kodesh Baruch. That's what it says. Kol Eile means these 14, if you look in Tanakh. Kol Eile Bonim LeHaman, these were the sons of Haman, Choyza HaMelech. Haman was a Novi, right? And it says, V'oyman, it says, Kol Eile, all of these 14 sons, Al Yidei Avim, through their father Haman, Bishir Beis Hashem, they would sing in the house of Hashem, B'mitzaltayim, by using the cymbals, right? Nevolim is another string instrument, the kinnaris, and also the harp. In any case, so just we can go on and on. So just to bring to show, Avodas HaTfilah, Bechol Avodas HaTfilah, is in fact, is the Shira as well. Okay, so we'll stop here for this moment now. Let's take with the sheet and see a little bit what we can bring to understand a little better what we have just learned now. And let's take a look. The first item is we have here is actually some Sefer Yoredei at Reish Lamed Gimel. And it's actually, last week we also brought down a number of some ciphers regarding the Mokam HaMikdash, the importance, and how Rishlaim, is basically, it transcends all the other areas that you have in Eretz Yisrael. Now what about the Beis HaMikdash itself? You have to understand, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash today. We don't have it. Unfortunately, there's something else over there. Some Sofer says, you'll see it's very fascinating. He said it doesn't make a difference where you have the physical walls or not. The Kedusha Samokah, the holiness of the place of the Beis HaMikdash, he says, is today the way it was, even though we don't have the physical walls. And therefore, tremendous things can be accomplished, he says, even though we don't have an actual Beis HaMikdash. Let's take a look. It's in the Tshuva Some Sofer Yoredei, Reish Lamed Gimel. Kedusha Beis Elokeinu. The Kedusha, right, of the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kedusha Sohol Yoyin, it's a way, it's an uppermost Kedusha. Ashezeh Shar Shemayim, right? We have next week coming up, next week's Parsha. Yom Kippur has a dream. Ein Zeh Kim Beis Elokim, Bezeh Shar Shemayim. Today also is Shar Shemayim. The Beis HaMikdash today is also Loi Botel V'loi Yisbatel. In other words, Botel, this feature, Shar Shemayim, never became disintegrated, never became ruined, and it'll never become bottled. It will always exist. As a matter of fact, he says, what was before the Jewish people went into Eretz Yisrael, right before Yeshua conquered the land? You think Eretz Yisrael didn't have any Kedusha at all? It was nothing? It didn't have formal legal Kedusha for halachas, for certain halachas. But in terms of inner Kedusha, he says, V'terem niskadishos, even before the land was sanctified through Yeshua and Ezra. Ezra was the second coming. Excuse me for using that pun. That's after the first Churban, right? And they came up to rebuild the Bais a second time. That's what came up with Ezra. So before Yeshua the first time, Ezra the second time, Kvar Hikriv Shom Odom Rishon. Odom Rishon, first man, was Makriv the Korban. Where's the Makriv? The Makriv over there. Right? Chazal tells the Odom Rishon, why was he Makriv over there? Why is it there was no Beis HaMikdash. That place had Kedusha with Beis HaMikdash, without Beis HaMikdash, he said. And that's the place where Noach was Makriv the Korban. The Nekad Yitzchak, that's where the Akedah took place. Why? That place had Kedusha. The Cholam Yaakov, that's where Yaakov Avinu dreamt. It's all in the Mokim HaMikdash. The Sham Hu Shar Shemai Mimois Oilam, forever. Atilu Kishoya Hayevusi Yoshu Shlaim. You know, when the Jewish people came into Israel, they had to drive out the seven nations. Aknani, Achitu, Amori. So even the Yevusi lived there. Even the Goyim were living there. He says some cipher. Apilu kishoya Yebusi Yoshu Yerushalayim. The Kanani va Prizi when Eretz Yisrael. Yebusi was in Yerushalayim. Kanani and Prizi when Eretz Yisrael. Loi Zozo never moved. Loi Tozos and will not move. The Shechina Makos L'Maravi. Right by the Western Wall. The Shechina is still there. Always was there. Apilu b'Churbana even at the time of destruction. Al Kain Poshet Beinai. There were repeats what we had last week in a different segment. Al Kain, listen, Poshet Beinai, She Yeshivas Yerushalayim, Yesh Bo Mitzvah Yoyser Mi Yeshiva Shari Oretz Yisrael, Vafilu Bizman Hazeh. Some Sofer keeps pushing it. You know, the real estate, you got to still sell this, some Sofer will sell this new apartment in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim, you can't call it Yerushalayim. They show some Sofer, they put it somewhere underneath, the advertisement over there. So you see over here that some Sofer says, because Yerushalayim, that's the Shari Shemaim, that's the place, that's where the gate of heaven, so you can't beat that. That's Shari. It always was, it always will be, it'll never become bottle. Now, he says further. So he says, Kehayois, now look at the advantages. Kehayois being she kedushas mokim amigdash lebottle, being that the kedushas amigdash did not become bottle. Al kein, therefore, those who live in the surrounding areas. You hear that? Those who live in the surrounding areas around the mokim amigdash, he says, Al kein achoinim soviv mikorod mukudashim tfei ukroivim el olakenis. According to some sofer, those who live closer to the Kosel Maravi, right? So you have Yeshivas HaKosel, I don't know these names of all these places. You have the old city, the new old city, new old city, these places. The closer that you are to Yerushalayim, the closer that you are, he said, you have more Kedusha. Because you're closer, right? You're closer to the radiator, you're right there. You feel the warmth, he says. Those that are choinim soviv mikorev mukudoshim tvei ukroev melekenu, the ashrei hazoich elekach lode b'Yerushalayim. It's interesting because Samsoifer never made it to Yerushalayim. But this is what he writes. Ashrei, fortunate is the one who's zeicher as the schus to live in Yerushalayim. Ashrei, who's somach lekedushas haralekim, afi lechurba bechurbana. Even though it is chorv in the time of its churban. And he goes further. And he says, Umarik, he points out, he brings down Umarik. So let me tell you a little bit. You know, he brings down Umarik. Umarik is, of course, it's a Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Yosef Cologne. Cologne, C-O-L-O-N, in English. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Cologne. Rabbi Yosef Cologne was one of the greatest poskim mamish of his time in the 1400s. This Chuvis Marik. He also born in France and lived basically in Italy. And the Taz quotes him, and he's like the last word. You know, you quote the Marik, whatever the Marik says, that goes. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that in our trip to Italy, to the various historical places, so one of these, we were in Bologna. And one of the reasons we went to Bologna, actually two reasons. One of the reasons was because that's the place where the Sparno lived. And I was hoping that maybe we'd find maybe an old cave or somewhere. But then, actually, I found out before that the Sparno Mamish, before he passed away, he was ill or someplace, and he went to someplace else. The Mamish passed away in a different place, even though the last years of his life he did live in Bologna. But the Marik also lived in Bologna, the Marik, among other places. Marik basically passed away in 1480. Right, in 1480, and he was the authority. He was the greatest Talmudic scholar you can imagine, and also the legal. Any halachic question that came up with Amarik, he was the one. And he was the most authoritative, both by the Italian and also by the Ashkenazic communities, both. He sort of like was a bridge between all of them. And whatever he said, this was... And he was at that way, he was a descendant, he traced his lineages to Rashi, which is a descendant of Rashi. And as I say, so he basically garnished a lot of influence and he commanded a tremendous amount of respect, the Marik. Okay? So the Chasam Sofer now writes, brings down a Marik. Listen to a few words of this Marik, Rabbi Yosef Cologne. Marik Shoyrish Hei. That's the title of inside the Sefer. Kosav Gamal Zmano. Okay, the Marik is writing to his time. So he's writing about the mid-1400s, right? Marik is writing his time. Look at Rice. Eilach mitzvah gedoyle mezul livnois beis akneset b'Yerushalayim. Hear the Marik saying? There's no greater mitzvah than building a shul in Yerushalayim. The Sefer calls this Marik. There's no greater mitzvah, he says. Ein lecha mitzvah gedoyle mezul livnois beis akneset b'Yerushalayim yirakoydish mokoy muchen lalois tefillah shemayim. Because that's the place where the tefillahs are going to go up to Shemayim. Because on the Har Moriah, that's the Shar Shemayim, that's the gates of heaven. That's the place where Hashem wants you to serve Him, right? And everything comes out of there. Atkan Loshti Marik. Atkan. These are the words of the Marik. Serech Sam Soifa. So what do you see? What do you see from this Marik? So Mevuah, he says, Mevuah de Mishuner Amal Yusa Yeshir Yerushalayim. You see, the Marik also maintains that living, all of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. All of Eretz Yisrael. But you see that Yerushalayim has an edge. You see from the Marik, he didn't say that what building an Eretz Yisrael, wherever you build is a mitzvah. But he says, Eloch mitzvah, there's nothing that matches, nothing can match building a shul, he says, Yerushalayim. So you see from the Marik also that yeshivas Yerushalayim, settling Yerushalayim, is mishun of Amal Yusei, right? Is different, right? Is an upgrade. Meshivas Shah Mekoyimus Shabbat Yisrael. Okay, therefore. Look at the next few lines. Alkein therefore ma'oy temati. I'm very surprised. Al Yud Nun Yedid Nafshi, a good friend of mine, says Chassam Sofer. Who is he mentioning? Chemdas Libi. You know, it's not just a good friend of mine. Yedid Nafshi, a soulmate. Yedid Nafshi. Chemdas Libi, the desire of my heart, close to my heart. Who is it? Rav Chavivi, right? One who is very much. Right, beloved to me. Harav Agoin Chasidu Prisha, Hamuflik Betoire, Quite Kedusha Shem Devata, Moreno Rab Amram. Okay, let me tell you his point. This is one great Goin is called Rab Amram Chasidu. I have to tell you something about that. Rab Amram Chasidu, basically, as we see, he was a contemporary of Chassam Sofer. He was Nifter in the 1830. To give you just an idea, Chassam Sofer passed away 1839. So he passed away 9 years before the Chassam Sofer. Some say, for example, in the Chuvis writes to him. As a matter of fact, what we're learning now, you see on top that Simon Reish Lamed Gimel in the Chuvis. This Chuvis is written to Rav Amram Chasid. This Chuvis is written, and he's mentioned there, and he writes to him, Nesiyo Lekim B'Teich HaNesiyim. You are a prince among princes. You can imagine the tremendous, right, the tremendous respect that Chassam Sofer had for this Rav Amram. He says, Nesiyo Lekim B'Teich HaNesiyim. Right? B'chazani boy. The Mechzakni boy, which means I firmly believe Shuhubaki Bechadri Torah, that you have knowledge all over, any area of Torah. You have tremendous knowledge. No parts of Torah. He said, Rab Amram. Now, Rab Amram Chassidu was a Talmud of Moshe Benet, was one of the Gedolei Yisrael, very famous Gedolei Yisrael. And as a young child, he already had a drive to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was a young boy, he was a kid of 5-6 years old. So the way the legend has it, he's a kid of 5-6 years old. He developed the desire to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he decided that he's going to start walking to Eretz Yisrael. What is he, you know, kid? No, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So he got himself somewhere of a hat. He found his father's hat. He took it, he put it on. He started walking. He's a little kid. Starts walking. And his father first missed his hat, then his child. He couldn't find his hat. Couldn't find the child. So he's now going to go now find his child. So goes from one village here or there. Finally he finds a non-Jewish person, he finds a goy, and says, maybe you saw a child wearing a hat which is really oversized. And he says, yeah, just a few moments ago I found a kid with a large hat. He asked me directions, how do you go to Eretz Yisrael? He's in Hungary now, you realize. He wasn't, how do you go to Eretz Yisrael? So his father heard that, so very quickly, of course, he understood that the child is somewhere around here, and he found him. And he said, okay, let's go home. Take somebody out. Let's go home. And the child breaks out in a cry and says, I'm on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Why are you taking me and bringing me back home? This is the mice about him. And he was one of those who realized his dream to be oiled to Eretz Yisrael. The issue was he went to Tzfas again, which is the city of the Kabbalistic city. Chassam Sofer was upset with him. So Chassam Sofer said, if you're already going to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Yerushalayim. That's very much in tune. You can see where this is leading to. He comes to Eretz Yisrael. He was very quickly recognized. He was 36 years old, and they made him the head of anything, head of yeshiva, head of the community, head of everything. He became recognized as really the greatest in the entire area at the age of 36. Unfortunately, he passed away at the age of 40. And Chassam Sofer wrote a hesped, a heart-wrenching hesped, and which is printed in the Drosh of Chassam Sofer. Just to give you a little bit of idea, Loshen, he says, Hesped al agoy Rab Amram Chassidah. By the way, why is it called Rab Amram Chassidah? It's a nickname, Rab Amram the Chosid. Why? Because in the Masechtas Kedushin there was an Amoira by the name of Rab Amram. And that Amoira underwent a tremendous nesoyim. There's a child of Yichud, you know, being with strange women, with that proper shmir. Against a Maisa Givim. And Rab Amram, the Maisa overcame all. Maisa would like with Yosef, and he overcame all the temptation. And Chazal, they gave him the name of Amram Chasida, the Amram the Chosid. This Rav Amram was such a tzaddik, and it was called Amram. So Merav, this name was attached to him. It's called Rav Amram Chasida. So Mesayfer called him Amram Chasida. Nosa le'etz hakodesh nisbakesh b'shiva shomala b'tzfas. He says, and he says he was a gavre rabbe, the goyim b'tzaddik mefursim, even while he was a chutzlaris. He was in his 30s when he came to Eretz Yisrael. So Mesayfer, he became twice as great as anybody in Eretz Yisrael. Ketrai Menayu, like the Gemara says, somebody's oil from Eretz Yisrael, from Chutzlars, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he becomes twice as great because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so he says, Nisbakish b'shiva shomala ben mem shona. Eich anachem, how can I console myself? Leizach some soifer. So soifer therefore now makes a comment. Let's take a look, let's go further. Now I have an idea. So I'm sorry, after I've shown you, he said, the Kiddush of Yerushalayim, I'm very surprised on my friend, Rabbi Amram Chasida. He went up to Eretz Yisrael. Let's take a look now. Okay, ma'oitim hati al divrei yidid nafshi. Right? The chem das libi, rab chavivi, harab agoin chasid apisha, right? Rab Amram. Muchzakni boishu boke b'chad v'toire. He has knowledge all over Torah, v'ach hapam lo yikivin yofa. But here, he made a mistake. Because according, Rab Amram chasid had an opinion that all Eretz Yisrael is equal. So it doesn't make a difference. Eretz Yisrael is kedusha, no question. His opinion was that it doesn't make a difference. But Achapam now Loikim and Yofi made a mistake. He wrote the Bizmanazah Ein Chilik Mekoimus. He said the Trey. In other words, he agrees. When you had a Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Amram agreed. You're Shalayim Beis Hamikdash. They don't have a Beis Hamikdash anyway. Now Beis Hamikdash, you're Shalayim and everything is the same. So Sofer says it's not true. And therefore, because Yerushalayim still has the edge, as we learned last week when it was the big earthquake, which was in Tveria and in Sfas, some Sofer said that he has to attribute it. Why? Is because they, because people abandoned Yerushalayim. I just have to mention that that earthquake was at the time that Rabbi Amram Chasida was there, and among the tragedies, among the, Rabbi Amram Chasida had a daughter that never perished also in that earthquake among hundreds and hundreds of other Jews. He had lost a daughter also. Well, had it been Yerushalayim, of course, but anyway, the plans of the Rebbein Shalom, we can't second guess that. But this is basically, this is what some sort of saying. Let me just mention here, so we talk about the greatness of the Cheshivas of Eretz Yisrael. Above Eretz Yisrael comes Yerushalayim, right? We talk about the Cheshivas, and within Yerushalayim itself you have the Mokim HaMikdash, right? Okay, that's in location. Location, right? Not in time. In time. Who is the most choshev in time? In location, it's Yerushalayim, the Mokim HaMikdash. In location. In time. What's the most choshev in time? Shabbos. Right? In time. Throughout the entire year. Which day? Right? And among people, which is the most choshev? Right? The Jewish people. So look at some slide right here. Look at number two. It's a fascinating little piece. I once actually said that piece in a shir I gave to Hatzolah members once. So at the end we spoke a little bit Divrei Chizuk. So I mentioned this Chazam Sofer to them. Chazam Sofer, he sees in Torah, Moshe Parshas Chizisa. Nefesh Achas Miyisrael, one Yid. Listen to what Chazam Sofer says. The value of one Yid. The value just of one Yid. Forget about 6 million. The value of one Yid. It's only 6 million. One Yid. The value of one Yid. Malosa Gedoyla Mashemayim V'yaretz. It's more important than heaven and earth. You hear that? One year, not the entire Jewish people. One year. One year, the Maila is greater than Shemayim V'yaretz, U'mekudesh is, Mekudesh is HaMikdash, and it's more holy than the Beis HaMikdash. A year is more holy than the Beis HaMikdash. Pas Shabbos, a year is more holy than Shabbos. The Ein Choshem Yisrael, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu tops the Jew. Not Shabbos. Here it is, what it says. Not Beis HaMikdash. Nothing. Now, look at some cipher. Yedua, she kedushas haMishkan baMikdash who kedusha in the floor. They realize what we're saying. It's an amazing kedusha that the Beis HaMikdash has, right? To understand what a yid is, understand what the Mikdash is. It's yedua that the kedusha of the Mishkan, the Mikdash, kedusha in the floor. It's a fascinating, right, kedusha. As a matter of fact, the Beis HaMikdash is more choshev. The Beis HaMikdash is also more choshev than Shemayim V'yoris. What's the raya? Because the Gemara tells us Shemayim V'yoris HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with one hand. And the Beis HaMikdash was created with two hands. Migdash Hashem koinenu yodecho, plural. It's the Gemara in Ksubis, like with some cipher. Chazal tells us in Ksubis, b'maisa shemayim v'yoretz ksiv b'yadachas. Because it says, af yodi yozdo ores, yodi. My hand, right found of the earth. V'ilu b'migdash ksiv, migdash Hashem koinenu yodecho, b'shtay yodam kebiyochel. So now, so the Migdash is more choshev, Beis HaMikdash is more choshev than heaven and earth. Shabbos is more chashuv than Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because Beis Hamikdash is not Berachas Shabbos. We don't go to Beis Hamikdash, not Berachas Shabbos. So what do you see now? Let's make the chashuv. Let's go step by step. Beis Hamikdash is more chashuv right than the entire world. Beis Hamikdash is more chashuv than the entire world. Shabbos is more chashuv than the Beis Hamikdash. Right? Shekdushas Hamikdash Kedoy VeKolkach Afil Ha'Ochis Shabbos Adifim. And Shabbos is greater than that. For Lachain, therefore, Eim Leches Hamishkan Dechah Shabbos. Shabbos comes, you have to stop the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So if A is greater, you know the old equation. A is greater than B. B is greater than C. So A is greater than C. Right? So if it comes out, if Shabbos is greater than Mishkan, Mishkan is greater than Shemayim V'Yaretz. So Shabbos is greater than Shemayim V'Yaretz. Shabbos is greater than Mishkan. Mishkan is greater than Shemayim V'Yaretz. So Shabbos is greater than Shemayim V'Yaretz. Because nefesh of a yid, if a yid's life is in danger, it pushes away Shabbos. So who's above Shabbos? The value of life of a yid. So mention that Tantzola. The life of a yid is more than Shabbos. It's more than the Beis Hamikdash. It's more than the creation of the world. That's what it means. Go to the left, immediately to the left. Number three, mamish to the left. Vatam, ki yisod vekim b'Hashem mamish, because Klal Yisrael is a shtick of the Rebbe Yisrael, it's a piece of Hashem. So nothing can beat Hashem, of course. And a Jewish person, his neshama is connected, is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch himself. Vasidim shikru b'shmo yizbarach. Matter of fact, Yidin will be called even by the name of Hashem in the future. Alken hi adifim and akoyos, so the Jew is better than anything, higher level than anything. So it's very beautiful. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Look at the three words. Shema Yisrael Hashem. Look at the Seder. Shema. Break up the letter Shema. Shema, he says, is Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, Mikdash, Olam. Right? You have these three components. Shabbos, Mikdash, Olam. What's more than these three? Yisrael. Yisrael is more than the Shema. More than Shema. Again, Shabbos is Shein, is Shabbos. The Mem is Mikdash. The Ayin is Olam, the creation of the world. Shema, you have these three. Yisrael. Yisrael is above that. Hashem is above Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem. That's the Chedek Musafer. That Rabbi said, that's the Cheshivas of Eid. Okay, so just in the remaining minute or so, I just mentioned to you, people are familiar, you know, with the Eish Chodesh, which is the Klemus Kalman Shpiro. It's known as Piasetzner Rebbe, if not pronounce it. Not far from Varsha, far from Warsaw. You go in Warsaw, you see signs, Piasetzner. And there's a tremendous tzaddik, the person who died al Kiddush Hashem. He was Nifter in 1943. Not only that, at the age of 20, by the way, he became Rebbe. He was appointed Rebbe at the age of 20. And as a matter of fact, established with the yeshiva, they established his name was Das Moshe. That was the name of the yeshiva. The name of the yeshiva was called Das Moshe. And which became one of the largest Hasidic yeshivas in Warsaw between the wars. He wrote Chodesh HaTalmidim. I remember, I was like 15 years old, I remember, I bought the sefer. Chodesh HaTalmidim is a sefer, like he speaks, like a Rebbe speaks to a Talmud. I mean, without any, what they call today, formal training, whatever you want to call it, he had the highest level of psychology, understanding how to speak and how to appeal, and to really be able to have influence on a Talmud and on a student. Chodesh HaTalmidim, it's a tremendous sefer. And also a sefer called Tekonos Avreichim. And so when Germany invaded Poland, so he was basically, he was in the Warsaw Ghetto. Clemens Kalman Shapiro, he was in the Warsaw Ghetto. And the various lectures that he gave, the drushes that he gave, were collected in a sefer that was after the war was published as Eish Kodesh. He didn't give it the name Eish Kodesh. Eish Kodesh is called this because why? It survived the fire. He did not. But the lectures that he gave, which was published, so it was called Eish, that's where the name Eish Kodesh comes from. And so throughout his life, basically, he dedicated his life on children's education. That's where he fought his life. And he fought the secularization of Jewish life and felt strongly that the only way to be matzliach, by the way, all the more so today, the way to be successful in being able to bring and to teach, he says, to young children with positive, joyous educational methods, he says. You have to be with joy. You have to be with simcha. You have to be enjoyable, that they should enjoy, and to be inspired that you should have a heart to love the Yiddishkeit and to have a love of Torah, he says, the mitzvahs. That's the way they can all be successful. So he established what's called a gathering in the ghetto, Well, basically, children, even as young as five, were welcomed, and they would daven, they would learn, and even dance with him. This was Mal, this is the way he worked. And that was his success. So, Meisa, when the Nazis came, and they invaded and they strangled the Jews of Poland, so he realized that soon he's not going to survive too much longer, because the ghetto was being liquidated one after the other. So the writings that he had, he placed it in a canister. And he buried it, hoping that someday somebody would find the lectures. And so he was sent away into a slave labor camp not far from Lublin, and eventually he passed away. After the war, and there's nothing by chance, it appears by chance, after the war, there was a young boy who was playing in the ghetto area, after the war, and he digging the ground, he finds the canister. He finds the canister, the boy had no use for it, so he does this, so he surmised that it must have some value, at least much he thought, because it was something was buried over there. So he approached an American soldier, and he offered it to him for $1. He says, "I'll give you the canister." The soldier bought it, he opened it immediately, and he saw, he didn't recognize the writing, but he surmised it has to be something Hebrew, that much he knew. It has to be something Hebrew. So he took it to a Jewish chaplain. I'll tell you his name, Jewish chaplain at that time, after all his name was Rabbi Tzvi Hollander. Tzvi Hollander. That was his name. He accepted it. So this Rabbi Hollander, when he emptied the canister, he was startled to read the contents. And let me tell you what the opening page read. Rav Klein was calling the Shapiro, the BSS, and the Rebbe. He writes the following. When you find this, there may be no Jews left in Poland. No Jews left even in Europe, and maybe no Jews left in the world. But in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim, there still will be Jews. We're talking about Yerushalayim here. He wrote, but in Yerushalayim there will be Jews, because Yerushalayim cannot live without Jews. That's what he wrote. Please go to the first Jew you see in Yerushalayim and ask him to print this. And I swear that whoever prints this and reads from it, I will pray for them at the Kisei HaKovod in Shemayim. Rav Klein was Kalman. Unbelievable. If any Jew is going to be left, it's going to be in Yerushalayim. So that's the punchline. But let me just tell you, Gavurche. This Rabbi Tzvi Hollander, I just want to tell you, he just wanted, there's no children left, no relatives. He wanted to find just somebody, maybe a connection, just a touch, right, who knew the man. They could hear something, they're working for the man. So he couldn't find anybody, because he didn't have any really relatives. So one day as he walks in Tel Aviv, he was walking, you know, if you're familiar, there is a Yarkon River. Yarkon River happens to be the largest coastal river in Eretz Yisrael. Matter of fact, Rabbi Shodron was given by the Chazon Ish. He had some sort of some pain in his left shoulder somewhere. He said, "Go take a little cruise on the Yarkon River." And Rabbi Shon Shadron says, according to the medical knowledge, it will not help me. But Chazon Ish said to do it, it helped me. I did it. This is what Chazon Ish said to do. So I did it. Anyway, so he takes a walk in Tel Aviv along, he says, alongside the river, and knows an elderly man sweeping the streets. Man, a hunched over man sweeping the streets, wrinkled face. Poshe testified that this man did not have an easy life. He was wearing a cap, so he surmised that he was a religious Jew. So he goes to him, Shalom Aleichem Ayit. And he answers in a Polish accent, Shulam Aleichem Ayit. So he says, "So you are from Poland?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Yeah, yeah, I'm from Poland." He says, "I'm from Poland." So he asked him, he said, "You came from Poland?" He said, "Yeah." So he says to him, he says, "Where in Poland?" Piasecne. So Mamish, his hair stood up, he says, "Of all the places in the world I'm going to find a Yid?" Well, Mamish come from Piasecne. Man, you couldn't believe Mamish has a tremendously good fortune that he had. So for years, Mamish, for years he'd been searching a connection, and now he's walking, he finds one. So he says, "Tell me what it's like to be with the Yesh Kodesh. Tell me what it's like to be with Piasecne, the Rebbe." So he says, "When he danced with us, it was like we were dancing with Malachim. When he davened with us, it was like we were davening with Malachim. When he learned with us, he would say, 'Open your hearts to Hashem.' When he davened with us, he would say the same thing, 'Open your hearts to Hashem.' And even when he danced with us, he would say, 'Open your hearts to Hashem.' But tell me," he asked, "tell me a teaching of his. That's the conduct of his, but tell me something that he taught." So he said to himself, he closed his eyes, he said, "It's been many years," he says now. And he says to him, he scrolled Mamish back to his youth, and he says, "I remember something that my Rebbe told me, and this became a staple of my life. I'll tell it to you in Yiddish and I'll translate it." The Rebbe said like this, "The greatest zach v'sayid kantin is tina ayid atoive. The best thing that a Yid can do is do another favor for another Yid." That's what a Yid means. That's the biggest thing that you can do. So I'll just tell you something, that the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Ayatz, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak once said, he said, "In the name of the Baal Shem Tov, it's kedai for a Yid to live 70 years, just to come down to this world to do another Yid a favor just once in a lifetime. Everything's kedai."